buckle up. We're going 3-1.
If Harvick's able to clear the one of Jamie McMurray and a caution comes out, he'll be back on the lead lap.
Rick, join us as we break down the latest news stories and race events from the three biggest divisions in motorsports.
Into the wall, then into the two. The two goes around. The caution's going to come out.
The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Will Joey Logano repeat?
It's a drag race. They're sideways. And it's going to be Logano getting the win.
Or will someone else take claim on being the next champion? It's time for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's up, everybody? Y'all know what time it is. The 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 is back on the airwaves. And man, it feels like forever since I've been on this podcast. But welcome into another edition of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. My name is Eddie Greer III, a.k.a. EG3. The post-race reaction from Richmond last weekend. And of course, looking ahead towards the Roval here, the first elimination race of these Cup playoffs. Of course, the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3, is all about the latest in the world of motorsports, of NASCAR, Gander Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three base divisions in all of motorsports. And we're recording here, as always, from the MHK Manhattan, Kansas, on this Thursday, September 26, 2019. Usually, we record these podcasts on Monday or Tuesday, and doing it a little bit differently, at least for this week, because of all the traveling and a couple of vacation days that I took off from actual work. So, been all over the place here. I'll get to that as we get into this podcast. And before we jump right on in to business here, of course, you can find the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast wherever you download your podcast from, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. And we have all regular season episodes now on SoundCloud, so you can listen to the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast on SoundCloud as well. So we got that going as well. And of course, I'm pretty much caught up now, of course, except for the playoff episodes as well, those will be uploaded after the Roval here coming up on Sunday. But ladies and gentlemen, of course, Big D is here as well. Let's just dive on right in. Just an action-packed weekend, and of course, yes, we have some drivers on the move, and probably a blessing in disguise that we waited until Thursday, because big news coming out. Well, one of them is not a surprise. We're not going to dive on in too much of that, but another silly season move coming for Roush Fenway Racing. But Big D, let's just go right on into business here with the Xfinity Series race. Of course, I was in Ohio for the Air Force Marathon last weekend, so I'm going to tell you right now, I did not watch much of this race, even though I'm back and I watched some clips here and there. But all I can tell you here, give you a little minor synopsis of what happened, though. It was the C. Bell show yet again. Christopher Bell put down a beatdown in the first playoff opener for the Xfinity Series playoffs there. Christopher Bell, of course, obviously the headliner, one of the headliners here this week. Bell led all of 12 laps en route to another Richmond beatdown. Win number 7 this year for Christopher Bell over Austin Cindric. Cole Custer finishing the 3rd spot. Bell, you got a backup here real quick. 238 laps led. Again, that's 238 laps led. That obviously way out of anybody's league. The others included pole sitter Austin Cindric, only led 8. And then the other four laps belong to Brandon Jones. But again, C-Bell making sure he's in that championship four race at Homestead. There's really not much you can say about it. It's just pure, pure domination by C-Bell in that 20 team from Joe Gibbs Racing. Mentioned Austin Cindric finished second, Cole Custer third, Justin Allgaier fourth here. Let's just bounce around these playoff contenders here in the round of 12 and for the Xfinity Series. Chase Briscoe finished in the fifth position there for Stuart Haas Racing. Noah Gregson, he comes in the seventh spot. And then Michael Annette in that one car for Junior Motorsports comes home ninth. And then Tyler Reddick opens up the playoffs a little bit on the struggling side a little bit, but still comes back to finish in the 10th position right there for RCR. Brandon Jones, I mentioned, led only the last four laps there. Jones finished in the 11th spot. Ryan Sieg finished 12th. John Hunter Nemechek here in the top 15, finished in the 15th position. I believe we covered it, Big D, for the playoffs. If you want to pull up in our big screen TV, you guys can't see it, but we can here as we check out the Xfinity Series playoffs here as they charge on to the Roval on Saturday afternoon. Bell is already locked in to the next round of the Xfinity Series playoffs, and the next highest guy after that, gotta go to Cole Custer there in second. Obviously, Tyler Reddick, your Xfinity Series Big Three here this season. 1, 2, 3. Obviously, Bell getting that round of 12 ticket there. Austin Cindric is fourth right now. Close third right now in this round. Justin Allgaier, Michael Annette, Chase Briscoe, Noah Gregson right now. If the round of 8 would start, those are your 8 drivers right there. And then Brandon Jones got some work to do there. He's about 12 to 13 points out of the cut line right now. But the Roval could change a lot of things here. Everybody's talked about it since last year, the debut of the Roval. And you saw exactly a perfect example, the Cup Series race last year. Well, we'll get into that here later on tonight on this edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Brandon Jones right now is the first guy out. Joe Gibbs Racing, Ryan Sieg, also 10 plus behind the cut line there. Justin Haley, and then John Hunter Nemechek there in the 12th position right there. So work to do for those guys going into the Roval, and I gotta tell you, those guys are gonna be looking for some Roval madness if they're gonna have any striking distance, if they're gonna have a shot to transfer when they get to their first elimination race at Dover. But right now, it's Thursday night, we are almost to Roval weekend pretty much, and Saturday, NBCSN PRN has coverage of the Drive for Cure 200 presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina. That starts here locally in the state of Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, 2:30 Central Time. That means 3:30 Eastern Time, I believe, is that if my math is correct, and 1:30 Pacific Time on the West Coast Roval. Of course, Chase Briscoe won the first race of the Roval last year. He'll look to duplicate that, or will somebody else step up and make something happen? Obviously, AJ Allmendinger, I believe, is in this field. The last time I check the entry list, as Big D's pulling that up right now here. You got your usuals. Of course, the zero has Lawson Ossenbach there in the zero car there for the Chevy team over there. Ryan Truex will make his appearance on the Roval on Saturday. Yep, Allmendinger pretty much confirms that notification there. In that 10 car, we've seen him in the on road courses all year long. Be competitive, there's no question. He's going to be going over there to mid-play, spoiler, he's been up there in all the road courses this year. Of course, last time on a road course, he was battling Christopher Bell for the win up north. And he and Gregson made contact there. And that was the end of Almaneer's race right there. Harrison Burton, who we saw at Richmond last weekend, put down a top 10 finish there for Joe Gibbs Racing. He's back in the 18 machine once again, but this time in a different configuration as well. And it looks like you got your usuals right there. And of course, another guy you want to keep an eye on, road course specialist, a young guy coming through the sport. That is the 86 of Will Rogers, who's had multiple success on road courses as well. Not in the top three series though, but in the lower thirds of NASCAR. So there you have it. Some guys outside the playoffs to look for here on Saturday afternoon. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 playoff reaction of Richmond. I'm gonna switch things up. We're going to the cup, going in the middle groove now to the cup side now. I'm going to say Mark Trash Jr. here in the back end, because I'm going to start off with the bottom four here, Big D. Talking playoffs, of course, I was able to listen to the second half of the race on the radio. Wasn't able to catch it again due to Big D. I've said this every time I've been on road trips or on the road in hotels this year. You know, hotels, they got to have NBCSN. Or something, or you get a zero rating or something like that. I've said it on multiple occasions. So again, you get in these hotels, they don't have all the channels. It's certain hotels that have all the channels, but the Hilton in Dayton, Ohio didn't, obviously, like had like only 20 channels. They had the main channels, obviously. They had ESPN, surprisingly, but not NBCSN. So shame on Hilton for that. But anyways, though, with all the technology nowadays, now you can listen to it on your phone, which I was able to do. And Saturday was busy, so nothing. I was able to keep an eye, even though I did not watch the race live. I've been able to watch multiple stints since being back of this race, so I pretty much already have a clear grasp of what happened. Well, obviously, if you listen to this show all year long and knowing the fandom in me, EG3, you know what I'm talking about. But first, we're going to start off with the bottom four coming in to the Roval here, and Alex Bowman. Alex Bowman right now, -2 behind William Byron, his Hendrick Motorsports teammate right now. Bowman probably made the quote of the night here when talking about Austin Dillon and getting spoon-fed, quote-unquote, get that, spoon-fed there. Austin Dillon, he and Bowman made contact, and then, of course, Dillon wasn't happy with the contact received by Bowman, and then, of course, Dillon loses it, the front end, and gets in the rear quarter of Bowman, turned him around, and would set off the quote, famous quote there. If you know what I'm talking about, it was there on Twitter throughout the night. People retweeting it. And I'm going to leave it like that. The silver spoon, Austin Dillon. And Alex Bowman, since that win at Chicagoland in the regular season, this team has not shown up to in these playoffs so far. And now you have an opportunity. Well, now your playoff life hangs in a balance of wagon pull. There we go. Your playoff life hangs in a balance of the unknown Roval here for Bowman. So Alex Bowman, he knows what he has to do. Struggled most of the night at Richmond. He was one time, two laps down. That's pretty much the kiss of death if you run on a short track there, any short track for that matter. And oh, look at this. So it happens almost all the time. Austin Dillon finishing 22nd. Not like it matters. Austin Dillon, he doesn't matter anyways because he ain't in the playoffs. Bowman does. He does matter, at least going into this weekend. if he pulls off some stunt like that, finishing 23rd, yeah, you're 2 points behind your teammate Byron. I don't think you're gonna transfer like that. You'll be lucky to make it out of the round of 12, make it on to the round of 12. Alex Bowman at Richmond finished 23rd in this race. That is not, absolutely not going to cut it. And we're talking about the Federated Auto Parts 400 recap on a three-wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. If you want to back up to Las Vegas, Alex Bowman finished 6th. That's the performance he's going to need if he's going to transfer on the next round. And, you know, looking at, you know, his road course information here this year, you know, I mean, other than the fact that I thought he ran pretty well at Sonoma earlier, but I know for a fact you're going to have to score stage points. It's just the bottom line. You're going to have to score stage points in both stages, not just one. You're going to need to score in two, and how the strategy plays out at the Roval on Saturday afternoon is going to really tell the tale here. You don't score points, especially you're this close. You know, William Byron has qualified very well on road courses, and when it comes to mind, Byron scored the pole at Sonoma, and I don't know, I can't remember off the top of my head where he qualified at Watkins Glen a couple months ago, but qualifying, yeah, it's going to be key, but also setting yourself up to scoring stage points. Alex Bowman, this 88 team is going to have to find another gear on Sunday if they are going to move on to the next round. Going on down the line here, oh boy, how many times have we talked about the disappointment of the year to this point, in my opinion anyways, the 14 Stuart Haas Racing, Clint Bowyer, and yes, he did what he needed to do. I talked about it last week, Clint Bowyer, good on short tracks, Richmond, he did what he needed to do, and he's in striking distance, and Bowyer is a decent road course racer. And now you have you're right in striking distance. And all he has to do, just like he did at Indianapolis a couple weeks ago, do Clint Bowyer things, stay out of trouble, have fun. Well, this will be stressful anyways, but do what you do best, be consistent in clutch situations, and you're going to be moving on to the next round. And again, the Roval, yes, the ultimate wild card in these playoffs. Second is Talladega here in 2 weeks in the next round. But right now, everybody's eyes on this Roval. And Clint Bowyer came up huge at Indy when he needed to be. He was 8 points to the good at Indianapolis. And he just stayed quiet and escaped the Alex Bowman spin at Indianapolis. And he came home with a top 10 finish. That's going to have to be the same thing here. But hey, Bowyer could possibly have the opportunity, possibly, to win this race. We'll just have to see about that here. It's all about execution here for that 14 team. They do that, and then we're moving on to the next round. They don't, they're going to have a problem. And Bowyer last year in this Roval race finished 3rd in this race a year ago, due to the calamity at the end, at the end of this race last year. Bowyer capitalized on that, finished in the 3rd spot. That's what he's going to have to do, pretty much. Point on blank, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to have to do what he has to do. Go out, go to the Roval, and do what you did last year. That's pretty much where it is right there. Kurt Busch, disappointing. And oh, by the way, if you go back, Big D, real quick, before we move on to Kurt Busch, who was 3rd on the bottom. Clint Bowyer finished, well, hey, so, numbers speaking, talked about 8 points above the cut line heading into the finale, regular season finale, Indianapolis. Well, he finished 8th at Richmond last weekend. He's going to have to do the same thing, maybe a bit more than that, and you go to the disappointments. Eric Jones, but before Eric Jones, actually, before him, Kurt Busch, 14 away from William Byron. I thought this was my guy to be the dark horse to try to at least get to the round of 8. But that's pretty much in jeopardy. Kurt Busch, a non-factor at Richmond all weekend long, struggled with the handling of that race car right there. He and that team, they're going to have to do something, some reconfiguring magic here if they are going to make it happen. There's a lot of NASCAR experts that I've listened to so far this week saying that he can make that up and then some to get in. That's pretty much what he's going to have to do. Kurt Busch is actually a decent road course racer himself as well. Kurt Busch, disappointing 18th finish at Richmond. Not going to get it done at the Roval. If he is going to position himself for that opportunity, of course, he was with Stuart Haas last year. Same thing. I mean, hate to repeat myself multiple times on this podcast, but hey, stage point. That's going to be the key for these guys, including not just the bottom four. You got to go up a bit as well. It's really a logjam up there, including last year's winner of the Roval, Ryan Blaine. But Kurt Busch last year, he started on the pole in this race and finished where? He finished fifth. So Kurt Busch, he duplicates that, pulls something out of the hat like he tried to do at ISM last year in the round of eight finale. He gave it all he had. Yeah, this makes him dangerous going into Charlotte this weekend. You're listening to Three Wide NASCAR Podcast Playoff Reaction Richmond Round 2 of the round of 16 playoffs, EG3, breaking it all down on this fall Thursday here in Manhattan, Kansas. Kurt Busch got some work to do if he is going to be moving on to the next round and supplant one of those ahead of him. Now, last but not least, and Kurt Busch dodged a huge bullet when Erik Jones, the JGR 1-2-3-4 finish, it was going to be the first time ever Joe Gibbs Racing would have the opportunity to do that. Well, strip that away, throw that fourth place finish away, throw it in a dumpster fire, wherever you want to call it. Erik Jones did not pass post-race tech there due to, I want to say, I can't remember off the top of my head, but either way, you fail tech, and that's what happened there, unfortunately, for this 20, and all of a sudden now, yeah, you're in a must-win situation, and you got to get mega stage points, and no doubt, Joe Gibbs Racing, they have been the story here this year in 2019. Everybody knows that. Everybody who loves NASCAR or just getting involved probably know that Joe Gibbs Racing is the team to beat. Last year, Stuart Haas Racing won a bunch of races last year. Also, this year, Joe Gibbs Racing by far has taken a heap away from Stuart Haas Racing. So, Erik Jones, very disappointing, crashed out early at Vegas. Had a great second half at Richmond, finishing, well, fourth until you fail tech, or your team fail tech, and you take all those stage points away, and you finish dead last to guys like Quinn Huff and everybody else. Erik Jones, 26 out from William Byron, and that's pretty much simple for him. There's no math needed for him. Obviously, you got to win the race or have somebody have issues, and possibly you have to be clean. There's no mistakes. You can't screw up. You can't be led off the cliff at the Roval. You can't run a chicane. You can't run over turtles, whatever you want to call those things. You have to go out there and you got to be flawless, man. This is a bad position, and again, goes back to me preaching again, folks. Preaching again, getting off to a good start in these sections. But if you don't, you're going to be working from behind. And that's awfully difficult, especially at this level and in this stage of the year, these playoffs. Every single point, Big D, it matters. It matters to these guys if they want to transfer to the round of 12 next week at Dover. So that's the bottom four that we just dissected here going into the Roval. And I haven't even talked about the race winner, which I've already gave you a clue who that was. But yeah, it was JGR's night pretty much at Richmond. And JGR is 2-for-2 in these playoffs. And if you look at William Byron here, William Byron, the last guy in right now, Byron, he had a rough evening. Where is William Byron on the score sheet? Big D, he was 24th at the Federated Autoports 400. He was also a couple laps down in his race here. Yeah, you're pretty much done if you get more than a lap down on a short track, especially you make mistakes. Byron, not a factor. Chad Kanowski, he's going to come up with something if William Byron's going to transfer to the next round here on Sunday. It's pretty much simple. He's going to have to outpoint his teammate, the 88. And not only that, you have to pay attention to Clint Bowyer, some hungry dogs right there, and Kurt Busch. Going to be chomping a bit. And you're going to have somebody like an Eric Jones probably going to be rolling the dice here. And JGR, we all know they got speed under the hood. So you know he's going to be right there. So those are some hungry dogs going after you. And Byron, he's in a bad spot. But they have qualified pretty solid. I'm referred back to the poll that he got at Sonoma. Got stage. He got mega stage points. If he does the same thing like he did at Sonoma, they have a very good shot at taking a spot away for the round 12. It comes down to that. Again, you're probably going to be hearing this for the rest of the podcast tonight. It's stage points. Well, obviously, once we get to the top of the board here in these playoffs. But William Byron, he's in a bad spot here. Yeah, it pretty much comes down to him. He's going to have to really execute if that 24 car is going to be still in the green when we get to Dover there for these playoffs. And then above him, next in line here, Eric Almirola, still struggling with the 10 car of Stutthaus Racing. It's amazing, you know, Stutthaus Racing. I mean, yeah, you know, Kevin Harvick is still in another club of his own, still in these playoffs, but Almirola, Bowyer, and Suarez is already out. These other players didn't make the postseason, so there's that possibility. I'm not gonna say it's gonna happen, but there's that chance now that Stutthaus Racing could leave Drovel with only one car in it, and that's obvious, the 4 car. Almirola barely hanging on. He's in a bad spot also with the likes of, even I'm gonna still throw Bowman in there now, even though he's been struggling. Bowman still is striking distance now. Again. Almirola only 3 points ahead of this cut line right now. Not safe. That's for sure. That's pretty much point blank. Easily, Bowyer and Almirola could easily switch. And I had Almirola out of the first round. I can't remember who the other cars were out. But you know, hey, Almirola, not a factor. Obviously, Almirola, this is one of his better racetracks going back to Richmond. And he was not a factor here. 16th at Richmond last week. That's not going to cut it at all. That's not going to get the job done. And above last year, Stutthaus Racing success, Almirola was a factor. He had speed in his race cars. This year, or at least throughout most of the year up until this point of the year coming into the Roval, this team has showed no speed and not a factor. So Almirola, you're going to have to do something here on pull off that match like he did last year, because he was part of that three-way tie with Larson in another car to transfer in the next round. So, again, Eric Almirola, that heartbeat is going to be really quick now. You can't make a mistake. I mean, that's my line. You come out there slow, you're done. That's pretty much it on that end of the spectrum there. So Almirola, again, last year came in. Last year, in this very setting, he had at least a 10-point advantage here, but still somehow ended up tied for the last couple spots to transfer in the next round. So this thing is going to get crazy. And then you have your last year's winner, Ryan Blaine, not 12 car. Not 12 car had a struggle at one of his worst racetracks. And I had this guy out of the first round. Ryan Blaney, 8 points out. Can he duplicate what he did last year? Obviously, he's done well. and finished well, top five at Sonoma. And I don't know where, I can't remember off the top of my head where he finished at Watkins Glen, guys. But Blaney, this is your defending winner of last year's race, of course. You know, cashed in on the calamity between Jimmy Johnson and Martin Truex Jr. right at the start-finish line there to get a stunning win, and in my opinion still. If you've been listening to this podcast all year, you know how I feel about that. Anyways, Blaney, no wins, and you're coming off a 17th place finish at Richmond. And then, if you want to fast forward again, back to, yeah, we're at Vegas here real quick as Big D's pulling it up. Blaney, if we can get it back here, Blaney finished fifth. So, again, he's going to need that performance again, maybe even more like he did last year, duplicate what he did last year, getting his huge victory and punching his ticket on to the next round. Ryan Blaney, he's kind of one of those guys that just minds his own business on road courses and stays out of it. And then all of a sudden, you know what? He's right there. And it just reminds me the work that he did at Sonoma. Yeah, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr. ran away with the thing. But Ryan Blaney, steady, calm and steady right there. Third place. So anything goes with the guy. So Blaney, 8 points out. And we'll just see how that goes on Sunday for Blaney and his chances to transfer into the next round of these playoffs here. And then the biggest surprise of all, before we take our intermission break here of tonight, gotta go to Ryan Newman. Ryan Workhorse Newman. Newman again. He got as high as third in this race last weekend at Richmond. Ryan Newman, if he gets in, it's going to be because of this effort right here. Newman finishing in the fifth spot. He is plus 14. Wow, plus 14 going in. And I had him toasted in his first round. I didn't think this would continue, but this is the staple of Ryan Newman. And I'm sure I'm not the only podcast that's been saying it. Multiple podcasts have been saying Ryan Newman is the workhorse of NASCAR. This guy's not going to quit till you cross that checker flag. Newman, though, got as high as third and really challenged Kyle Busch for a few laps there. Towards the end of that race, didn't get it done, but yeah, I give credit to where credit's due there. Ryan Newman, two top 10 finishes to kick off the playoffs, and you're a couple hours away from keeping Roush Fenway in these playoffs. Unbelievable job by this cat, the sixth car of Ryan Newman. Ryan Newman, all he has to do is continue really to be himself. And I mean, other than that, right now, that's probably still a surprise late in the year. Ryan Newman doing Ryan Newman things, Big D. He just continues to overachieve. That's pretty much the word here for this team. This team has no business in these playoffs whatsoever. And then second half of this race, all of a sudden, the black six car is up here battling the likes of Kyle Busch and company here. So, I mean, yeah, they have no speed. I just say no speed. They don't have the speed on mile half tracks, but when you put it on short tracks and road courses, it evens out the playing field a little bit. If Newman stays out of wacky trouble, the six car is going to be moving on around a six, on round of 12. Unbelievable job right here by Newman. And he right now is taking a spot from one of them big names like Eric Jones, Clint Bowyer, and those guys below the cut line. So six car, Newman continuing to do what the calling is. It's Ryan Newman's calling card. Do what you got to do to maximize the effort, and he's done a hell of a job with that. Before we take our intermission break, of course, follow me at EG3_FastEddie. And again, you find a Throughout NASCAR podcast wherever you get your podcast from: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, Stitcher, and you can listen, catch up on all the latest regular season episodes on SoundCloud, we're on there as well as a few others as well. You do not want to miss a moment of Throughout NASCAR Podcast. And of course, on Apple Podcasts, don't forget, please leave us a 5-star rating. And if you want to, leave a review as well. That would be much appreciated here on the Throughout NASCAR Podcast with EG3. All right, guys, when we return from our intermission timeout, of course, we're going to get to the other playoff contenders as well. And we still have EG3 stickers to go to and silly season report and a tweet here from yours truly here that you're going to find pretty funny. You're listening to 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast when we return after this timeout.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
The 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast Playoff Reaction Richmond Motors on a 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 Eddie Gritter III live from the MHK Manhattan, Kansas Gator Outdoor Truck Series, Philly Series, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series of 3 Business Divisions in all of motorsports. We continue our truck reminder here before we finish up red cap in Richmond. Of course, they'll be back on track October 12th, the kickoff, the round of 6 of the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series playoffs. Last time we saw them, Austin Hill blew by Ross Chastain, a score win and punch a ticket to the next round. We're that much closer to see who gets the first ticket to Miami in the Truck Series October 12th. FS1 MRN has coverage of that as well. For a second, we talked about in the Cup Series, the bottom four worked our way up to the first four end. And we're going to finish that sequence up here real quick here. We stopped on Newman. Kyle Larson, minding his own business here, finished sixth in the Federated Auto Parts 400 last weekend. So Kyle Larson, all he needs to do, Larson plus 25. He cannot have a failure. That's pretty much the bottom line for him if he's going to move on. And remember last year now, Kyle Larson, that wild-ass final lap there, smacking the wall, video game style, getting by Jeffrey Earnhardt, tying Eric Almirola and another person. I cannot think of who the other person was that was tied. I'm pretty sure it was a three-way tie. I know it was. So Kyle Larson, 25. That is no means safe whatsoever for Kyle Larson. That puts him right there in the danger zone here. So Kyle Larson will be looking to stave off elimination on Sunday afternoon. Moving up to the line now. How about the story? One of the main stories of the night on the wrong end. Well, actually, first off, Chase Elliott. Well, you can might as well put him in that category also. Chase Elliott, not a factor after qualifying third last weekend, finishing in the 13th spot. Elliott comes in with a little bit more buffer. 3-7 there for him, for Chase Elliott again. Just, you gotta stay away. It's out of control. Gotta stay away from trouble. That's all he has to do if he's going to move on. And now you're pretty much getting to guys that locked themselves in or have won themselves in the playoffs, but only one driver has done that so far. We'll get to that here momentarily. Joey Logano, disappointing evening. Even though he tried to rally back, started 28th. Big D, the defending champ, was not a factor. He was out the left field most of the race. And that car was just never settled on a racetrack there for the defending champs. And a story that I read in the Athletic earlier today, Brad Keselowski saying that we need more speed. There's that saying again from Keselowski. This is not the first time we heard him not say that now. Keselowski saying that we need more to be head-on with the JGR group right now. Some people thought that Penske would overtake Joe Gibbs Racing, right? I mean, yeah, you know, Homestead last year, we know what happened last year with the whole Big 3 and Me situation there. We all know how that played out. Here, at least to this point, early in these in the postseason, Logano struggling, and I don't know what happened. I mean, they had mojo going on in the first race at Las Vegas, leading 100 laps there before getting passed by MTJ there in stage two, and then the contact with Suarez, and then that snowball just carried into this race right here. So fortunately for Logano, he has a 50-point advantage here, so he's pretty much taking the green flag here. And he's moving on to the round of 12. Denny Hamlin, same thing here, plus 54. He was a part of that 1-2-3 finish for Joe Gibbs Racing last weekend. Brad Keselowski just talked about him a few moments ago, folks. We need more speed. We need to do more. He's going to be moving on to the next round. 55 for Keselowski. And remember Keselowski leading the Army off the cliff last year. In that massive wreck there that really set up the finish there last year. Keselowski there wanting more, but he's going to be moving on to the next round. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, they both clinched a spot to the round of 12 here. Next, we got Dover, but they're going to have to run the road first, though. There, and of course, Kyle Busch finished second. Kevin Harvick finished seventh. Another top 10 for Kevin Harvick to start these playoffs after finishing runner-up to our last week's winner, MTJ. Yeah, baby, Martin Truex Jr. for the second race in a row in these playoffs. And I thought he did this a couple years ago, went back-to-back, and I was dead wrong. But this is the first time in Martin's career that he's won back-to-back victories. Incredible stuff. Cole Pern, Martin Truex Jr. bringing out the guns, showing and flexing here early in these playoffs with a huge win and passing Kyle Busch there late, even though there was contact by Kyle Busch. No means done. The contact didn't hurt him there. Martin Truex Jr. led 109 laps en route to win number 6. Back-to-back wins in these playoffs. And he was already locked in due to winning at Vegas. Yeah, and a possibility now for Martin Truex to sweep both all these races in the round of 16. And on top of that, he has closed the playoff gap on Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch came in there into this round, obviously, to start of the playoffs with 45 playoff points. He's gained one that span. He's at 46. Martin Truex Jr., he came in there 29 playoff points. He has made up. Let's see, five. He won stage one. Of course, Kyle Busch, that was the other stage he won that. So that's the one I was talking about. Martin Truex Jr. won stage one at Vegas. 6 plus 6. You do the math. That's 12 playoff points right there. That is 41 now. And he's going to be hungry. Talk about hungry hippo here for a minute. Truex Jr., he was there last year leading this race, and then all what the hell when Jimmy Johnson spun out, and then due to the circumstances, try to back up whatever, and then, yeah, Jimmy Johnson backs into Mark Church Jr., coming to the final turn, allowed Ryan Blaney to win this race last year. So that's still nagging at me a bit there, but Mark Church Jr., a possible opportunity to sweep all these races in the front. All these races, if he does that, he's going to be joining his nemesis, Joey Logano. Because Joey Logano did this a couple years ago when he swept all the races in a round. And I believe that's going back to the round 12, if I'm not mistaken, for Joey Logano a couple years ago when he swept all those races in the middle. I cannot remember which races. I know Talladega off the top of my head and Kansas. That controversy started with Matt Kenseth for sure, and then you guys know what happened after that. But Mark Trish Jr., the best driver right now on road courses is this cat, the 1-9, Mark Trish Jr., and he is going to be pouncing at the bit, not only to get their motto after Vegas, guys, was to get more playoff points, and he, CP, Cole Pernier are doing exactly what they need to do, and this 19 is going to be awfully tough, and I don't think they're going to be letting up, even though, yeah, we got Dover, and this is a good stretch of, at least a good stretch of races here coming up. Yeah, you have the unknown at Talladega, which Truex can't finish to save his rear end, but hey, I mean, 41, from 29 to 41, you have really put yourself in a spot that, hey, you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to be back racing for a championship. We still got a long way to go now, but hey, first round, hey, you got, if you're a Truex fan, like I know there's Truex fans who listen to this podcast, obviously because of this guy talking to you right now is a Truex fan, but hey, you got to do what you got to do, take care of business, and we'll see what happens, because he now can really make up the difference on Kyle Busch here. He's 5 points back, if you look at it, if you look at playoff points wise now, from Kyle Busch. And oh yeah, another fact to stump on y'all for a moment. MTJ now surpassed, or at least in a stretch of races or whatever, he has more wins than Kyle Busch in a span of what? Three or five years, something like that. So that's crazy. That's crazy talk right there. So Truex Jr. was already punched in. So, and then you had locked in Kyle Busch, who led 202 laps in this race there for Joey Gibbs Racing. Joey Gibbs Racing just put it on this field. And who's going to step up and challenge him? I just don't know who can. I mean, Keselowski, they said they want a challenge. They ain't got a speed right now. Ganassi? They ain't got nothing right now. Struhas Racing, they're still looking for that balance there. Childers frustrated. So, I mean, you had all regular season long to get your stuff right for these playoffs. And if you're reacting like that, especially running behind these JGR cars, this is going to be a long postseason for them, guys. So, still a long way to go in these playoffs. And we have yet to see who's going to be left behind after the Roval here on Sunday. Of course, the schedule right here, the Bank of America Roval 400 NBC national television. It can't get more better than that, baby. PRN has coverage over the radio. 1:30 local time start here in Manhattan, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Nebraska. 2:30 Eastern time. So, national television. It can't get any bigger than that. And when the checkered flag falls on the Roval Sunday, we're going to be talking about 12 drivers moving on. And, of course, afterwards, the four that won't be talked about anymore after these playoffs. You listen to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3 style. Y'all know what to do. 3Wide. Eddie Gritter, 30 with you guys. Playoff reaction from Rich Man, and that seals the deal there. We're going to move our vehicle to the low line now, obviously, with some news. All right, so obviously, I mentioned Christopher Bell, top of the podcast here tonight. And I'm not going to dive into this any deeper than it already is. Obviously, the worst kept secret in all of NASCAR. And I've said this on pretty much on every episode probably here so far. We can finally say officially he signed Levine Family Racing. We'll have Christopher Bell in that 95 Toyota for next year. We already know where Matty Benedetto is going, to the 21 of the Wood Brothers. And then this happens yesterday, before I went to KC to see the Braves play the Royals last night. How about this? Chris Buescher was going to be out of this 37 lap ride for JTG Doherty Racing. That was confirmed yesterday. And then this card fell on the table. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. done at Ross Fenway Racing at season's end. And hang on, BD. And I mentioned something, and while I'm on Stenhouse for a moment, Martin Truex Jr., I almost left this out. Truex Jr. leading the race there, Stenhouse, fresh tires and all, and I've since then watched it, and I'm still dumbfounded about what he did to the leader. You're not in the playoffs. Truex is. And fortunately, this was not worse than it was, because Truex was already locked in, walking to the next round. Stenhouse apparently pitted, half fresher tires, can't handle the race car, gets into the leader of the race, which was Martin Truex there. And I asked, left a question on Twitter, was the 17 wreck house get into him? And I got a couple of friends of mine, our, of course, we got our Truex group on Twitter. Shout out Truex Nation. We did it again, baby. Anyways. And they reply, yeah, he did. And I go, I'm dead serious. You can go back, look at the timeline and say, good grief. You got to put somebody else in that ride, 17 ride. That's why I said, you have to put somebody else in that ride. Well, I guess somebody must have heard me say it or read a couple of tweets or something like that, because Ross Fenway Racing, Jack Rouse, the front office, said after that, yeah, enough. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., yeah, he won 2 Xfinity championships, whatnot, but he ain't done a lick. Yeah, he's one of the best competitive restricted plate racers in today's NASCAR, whatever you want to say, but ain't produced anything. I mean, yeah, he's got, all of a sudden you're talking about 2 wins in the same year on restricted plates, Talladega in Daytona, and you're talking about this cat being one of the best in the business? I don't think so. And you can't even control your race car on fresher tires? Get out of here with that, man. Come on now. So, it's not, I mean, all joking aside, I mean, I was pretty pissed when I saw replays last weekend. And that, I mean, you have to get a better handle on a race car. You have to be better aware of the situation. There is no excuse. You're not in the playoffs. You do not want to be that guy that screws up somebody else in the playoffs. You just cannot do that. And for Stenhouse, that is pretty much summed it up right there. Yeah, you got your 2 wins and whatnot, but he gone out of that 17 ride, and now the plot thickened. Well, actually, you know, that question's already answered. Who's going to be in the 17 ride next year? And that is the guy that was in the Ross Fenway stable of Xfinity drivers. That is Chris Buescher, will take Ricky Stenhouse Jr.'s place next year in that 17 ride. So, Buescher. And Chris Buescher has done some great things this year, no doubt. For the 37 team this year, he has done himself he's done a great job in year 2. Great performances. I bragged on him a lot over the summer, especially at Kansas earlier this year. We saw him live run up in the top 10 most of the night, including getting himself probably, if I remember correctly, 5th at one point in that race back in the spring. But Buescher, he's done some great things more than Stenhouse. Stenhouse started off hot. I'll give him that. He started off hot, but ever since those first couple months, he has been a groundhog in the Cup Series, and now he's going to be looking for another ride here. So silly season, folks, ladies and gentlemen, it is up and running big time. DiBenedetto in a ride, Bell in a ride, Menard retiring, Reagan retiring. Sinat's going to be looking for a ride now. Buescher in the 17 next year. So, and on top of that, Ryan Newman, of all people, in his first full year, has come on like a house of fire. And he's 400 miles away from moving on to the next round. Sinat's ain't done a lick here. So, yeah, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. out of that 17 ride. So, I guess somebody must have heard my request. That's there. So, that's probably the tweet of the week. So, hey, I mean, I was just exaggerating, but apparently somebody was listening closely and watching the Twitter feed when I put that out. So, on a serious note, though, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 2 wins, 1 playoff berth, hasn't done anything. He is going to be looking for a new ride. So now we're going to be paying attention to see where Stenhouse Jr. lands. And don't forget about Daniel Hemric and his search for a new ride after being booted after 1 year, come Homestead, Miami in November, out of that 8 ride, which pretty much tells us that Tyler Reddick's going to be taking over that RCR ride there. So even though RCR ain't got the equipment right now to be running up front with them by guys right now, but we've seen Reddick, again, going back to that first Kansas race. And oh, by the way, Kansas is coming up for us, in a couple weeks. And that's the next elimination race in 3 weeks. But we got unfinished business coming up in a round of 16 here with the unknown of this Roval. And I got to go back to the top 10 last year. I know we're crisscrossing over here and we're running out of time here tonight. Been a great show here tonight. 3 Wide NASCAR Pass, EG3, Eddie Greer III here with you guys for a few more minutes this evening. Blaney, Jimmy McMurray, Clint Bowyer, Alex Bowman, Kurt Busch. Okay, so again, Bowman, he is going to need one of these performance from last year. Again, Bowman, we talked about it all night. He's going to need to do what he did last year. Alex Bowman qualified 3rd in his race last year. Dang, I did not recognize that. So Bowman, Kurt Busch, he's part of that cut line. Clint Bowyer as well, that top 5 last year. 3/4, 3/5 of that are part of the cut line this year. So they're going to be moving on. They're going to have to make something huge. And I don't have enough time to talk about, which I'll probably have to, this will have to be another podcast for another time. Trips to up there to KC to see the Braves. And of course, what went down in Ohio. Going to have to say that for another time because we're quickly running out of time. But Roval, it is going to be crazy. 17 turns. There are going to be more adjustments to the backstretch, folks. So if you're not doing anything, you definitely want to check the Roval out this weekend, because it could be a game changer, especially in the Xfinity Series. And we know, based off last year's second half thriller at the Roval, there's going to be something big go down. So we all know that for sure in this race. And of course, we're going to give some sponsor shots real quick. Thank you, Rick Allen, for the 3 Wide shout out last weekend. Jeff Burton, how many times have we put him on this list? And Teardown's Jordan Bianchi, thank you for the 3 Wide shout out, my friend. Appreciate you. So 3 Wide, our sponsor shout outs for the week right there here in the E3Wide NASCAR podcast playoff reaction of Richmond as well. And of course, K-State undefeated. Yeah, baby. Going on the road. First conference game Saturday night on prime time. And again, this is going to have to be on another podcast as well. Future episode coming up. ESPN Plus, which I got my phone. So, looking forward to that matchup. OSU coming off of a road loss against Texas. They're going to be looking to do some home cooking there. K-State ranked for the first time in quite some time. I think this is the first time I've been ranked since my senior year at K-State. So that's huge right there. Chris Kleiman, that whole coach staff, they deserve credit. But hey, still lots of work to do there. And starts off on the road. Huge test. We're climbing. Skylar Thompson, the boys, try to do work at Stillwater right there. EG300 stickers to wrap us up here real quick, BD. Let's get it down here. Obviously, EG300 stickers, mine, JGR's top three, MTJ, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, in the Xfinity Series, C-Bell, Austin Cindric, and I gave mine to Zane Smith. Zane Smith, two top tens at Richmond, EG3 helmet stickers. Last but not least, Big D's honorable mention closes out, and we talked about him enough already, the sixth car, Ryan Newman. EG3 helmet stickers this week on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Zane Smith, Austin Cindric, Christopher Bell's dominating performance, Ryan Newman, EG3 helmet stickers of the week. NBCSN has the Xfinity Series race this week at the Roval, and of course the Cup Series. First elimination race, the Bank of America Roval 400 on national television. Guys, get your stuff ready to go. Get your drinks out ready. Get your popcorn, hamburgers, hot dogs, whatever you're doing. And sit, grab a seat in front of the television because this thing is going to get wild. We already talked about it already. Four drivers, Bowman, Bowyer, Busch, Kurt Busch, Eric Jones in a must-win situation. At least Eric Jones' sake, it is thanks to the penalty. Can any of those guys get a ticket or we'll see these same trouble? Something's going to happen big. Can't tell you who. And if anything match what it did last year, oh boy, we're going to be talking about it here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. The next time I'm talking to you guys, it is the first elimination reaction from the Roval. Who made it in and who will be left out to watch the rest of the year as the playoffs move to Dover. Folks, it has been a blast talking with y'all here tonight on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Big D, you knew how we do. It's time to wrap this thing up. Ladies and gentlemen, it's another wrap for another edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Playoff reaction style, Richmond, Martin Truex Jr., Christopher Bell, taking care of business at the short track at Richmond. Now the series moves to the unknown, the Charlotte Roval. What's going to happen? Going to have to find out here this weekend. Big D, thanks for what you've been doing here all year long, what you do. I'm Eddie Greer III, and I appreciate y'all for tuning in, downloading this podcast. Remember, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. Appreciate that. And, of course, yeah, can't leave without telling y'all to tell your friends about this podcast. You do not want to mix the Roval Cup Series, the Roval. You next. We out.
podcast with EG3. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3-wide. 3-wide.